Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, first of all, Sean, we're happy to have banned it in Florida. It's not going to be allowed in Florida classrooms. Spending tax dollars to teach kids that America is a rotten place is absolutely unacceptable.
There's Ron DeSantis on, I believe, an issue that is eventually going to get to the Supreme Court, and that's the critical race theory, another issue where, you know, I appreciate those on the center-left side of the spectrum listening to the show very much. And, you know, here's the thing. They call this station because I guess they have no other political talk station to call. So,
yeah, I want to argue with somebody. Where do I go?
Yeah, where do I go to argue? liberal talk radio has been an epic flop and a disaster. I thought, God rest his soul, Alan Colmes. I thought Alan Colmes did a really nice job for the time that he did it. Passed away a number of years ago. He was Hannity's sidekick back in the day. Other than him, maybe one or two others. But when you compare the success and the widespread proliferation of conservative talk radio across the country compared to liberal talk radio, there's no comparison, you know. And they say it's because conservatives who work and drive around all day are the ones listening to all the conservative talk radio. As they go from sales call to sales call to work to job, and the liberals are sitting at home watching Judge Judy. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know.
So not to paint with a broad brush or anything.
Maybe this is why they're calling and yelling at me. I'm very nice to them. But we were talking in the break, and I'll get to our guest here in just one quick second. We were talking, the reason that the lefties, now see, the liberals on the Supreme Court went with the 9-0 decision on the religious freedom right, because the liberals understand the tenets of the Constitution and that that's tantamount. What the lefties hate is this idea that you can't force people to do something when they have nothing to do with the government. They don't understand the proper role of, the role of government is not to interfere in a religious association's work when it's not doing anything illegal. They're just following their basic faith tenets. So anyway.
Can you share that little nugget about the dissenting opinions, too? About the fact that there weren't any?
Sotomayor and Kagan didn't even write a concurring opinion. They went with the majority opinion of Justice John Roberts. And the only concurring opinions were some of the more conservative judges saying the case needed to go further.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's bring in our next guest now. He is Captain Brent Sadler, Senior Fellow for Naval Warfare and Advanced Technology, Center for National Defense at the Heritage Foundation, our good friends at Heritage. And Brent's going to talk to us about some of the budgetary issues. We've been talking a lot of the issues of the Biden administration's $2-point-whatever-quadrillion budget proposals for health care and infrastructure, et cetera, and so forth. What about the things that they should be funding? You know, we're not anti-government people here at all. And I think the government should do a few things, but do those few things really well. And one of them would be provide for the national defense. That's in the Constitution. Let's talk to Brent Sadler about that next. Captain Sadler, thanks for joining us here on the show today.
No, thank you for having me. It's an important topic, and I look forward to chatting more about it.
Yeah, so tell us about, you know, it seems like the media is hyper-focused on only a couple things within the Biden budget request, and I haven't heard a whole lot of discussion on things that the government perhaps should be funding, and that would be the military. Could you give us, first of all, Captain Sadler, like the 30,000 foot on the defense spending in general that the Biden administration has proposed? Are you happy with it? Do you think it should have gone a lot further? Just kind of the overall view.
Well, I'd say overall I'm disappointed because many of the folks that, you know, from one administration, now we're in the third administration of a realization that the nation's in a real tough competition with China and also Russia. And so I'm very disappointed in this budget because it should have been a continuation of, you know, resources to a strategy to actually compete. Because it takes a long time to build ships. It takes a long time to get troops and sailors trained to operate these really complex systems and to engage the Chinese and the Russians in the day-to-day competition out at sea. And so, yeah, I'm overall disappointed. The lack of resourcing is one aspect at the top level that really comes to mind.
Captain Brent Sadler, I'm looking at an article here. The title is U.S. Navy punts on building a fleet to compete with China. So let's talk about China for a second. What is their goal, in your opinion, in expanding their military right now?
Ah, God. So since 1996, there was a showdown over around Taiwan over elections there in Taipei. And the Chinese have gone to school on us ever since. They resent the fact that they are second to anyone. So they are dead set on becoming top of the pile to have, you know, the dominant position to influence events across the spectrum of economics, politics, and the military. So they've been building their military out at breakneck speed. And everything right now, I mean, pretty much everything since the mid-90s has all been about taking back Taiwan. They have an ongoing civil war. It's been kind of a cold civil war since, you know, the 50s. But Taiwan is sitting there 90 miles away from the coast of China under constant threat. And everything, the diplomatic, the economic, all kind of comes back to the Communist Party of China winning that civil war and forcefully, if needed, reacquiring Taiwan.
Is that a sort of symbolic victory? Is there any strategy to that? Is it just, well, we want to show how strong we are? Because I was having a conversation, oddly, just yesterday, speaking with you now, about this topic with a friend of mine yesterday who's a military-minded guy, and he says, look, I really believe that because the Biden administration is showing such weakness on this foreign policy, especially to China and Russia, that China is going to exploit that, and they're going to invade Taiwan sometime within the next 3 years. I argued that I don't think that we will see that because not because the U.S. is being so strong, but because Taiwan is so opposed to that happening that they're going to go down fighting no matter what.
No, absolutely. It's always a mistake not to consider what the people in Taiwan are doing. And increasingly, they don't see themselves as communist Chinese or ever becoming a part of communist China. They see themselves as something different. They like the status quo because they've got their independence, a de facto independence, but it's more than symbolic in the minds of the communist Chinese. They view it as unfinished business. If they don't solve it, and they're on the clock to solve this, but in this civil war, they lose their own legitimacy and the people start questioning whether or not the Communist Party is the right leadership for mainland China. So it's very real. It's more than symbolic.
Speaking to Captain Brent Sadler, at Brent Sadler on Twitter, Senior Fellow for Naval Warfare and Advanced Technology. Brent, you put an article up at heritage.org just yesterday. Biden administration forcing the Navy to make a false choice. This has to deal with these budgetary issues. What is that false choice that you believe the Biden administration is forcing the U.S. Navy to make?
So a lot of that article in particular focused in on Department of the Navy. So this is Navy and the Marine Corps, the guidance for not this current budget, but for next year. And it rules out of hand a range of future technologies, new platforms and numbers that we need that really without even giving any due consideration. And the false choice that I refer to it from that planning guidance for budgets for the Navy is the fact that the Chief of Naval Operations is directed to say, we don't have enough money for you to modernize or advance your aircraft, your surface ships, and your submarines. You have to pick one. And that's the false choice in that is you got to do all three. And the fact that there's so much easy money in the overall federal budget, it seems to be a false choice to be saying, hey, we don't have enough resources for you to do all three. There is money.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so, Brent, back to this budget request this year, you know, there's not enough money. Wait a minute. You know, the Biden administration is talking about every month it's a new multi-trillion-dollar proposal. And if we can find budget allocation requests in the Biden administration's budget for things that aren't in the Constitution. Now, some of these things may be wonderful things, but they aren't constitutional. They aren't required by law. Having a well-funded military, providing for the national defense is. And Brent, isn't a budget, it's all about numbers and dollars and cents and all that, but it's also a listing of priorities. So if you're not going to prioritize the military, then Brent, I would make the argument the Biden administration is not prioritizing our national security.
Absolutely. I would even go a step further and say the investment that you make in the military has been proven time and time again to be well worth the money spent. For every dollar that you spend in deterrence, you're probably saving about $100 of blood and law and actually more munitions and ships that you'd have to buy in a conflict. So it's a smart investment in defense, and it's proven historically.
Captain Brent Sadler is Heritage Foundation Senior Fellow for Naval Warfare and Advanced Technology. Let me ask you this. Brian Kilmeade, National Voice, of course, he's on before our show. He has over and over again made the argument that we should not be pulling out of Afghanistan because, not necessarily just because of Afghanistan, because of terrorism, but because we have a presence there now closer to China, and that's the real threat. What overall do you think we should be doing as far as having a presence in either Afghanistan, in the South China Sea, in that area in general?
Well, I'll start first with Afghanistan. I think it's important to know the nature of war and the nature of the societal stresses in Afghanistan, and we got to do a better job on that. And what we can't do is irresponsibly wholesale depart. There are a lot of people there that we would like to see still have an influence, our partners in Afghanistan. And what we most certainly cannot allow to happen is to return back to what it was like there in September 10th, 2001, the day before the attacks in New York and in D.C. So that's Afghanistan. It's got to be smart. It's got to be responsible. The China element, there's also an interesting Russia element that plays in the region, that not to be forgotten. But as a Navy guy and looking at the larger global competition with China and Russia, money and resources are better spent in the South China Sea, if given a choice, because in the South China Sea, the Communist Party in Beijing, they've got a lot of stock, a lot of reputational and strategic stock in that region. And if we're not present competing, we're going to lose a lot of security partners like Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam may go soft. And we have an ally in the Philippines as well as in Thailand, and a very close to an ally in Singapore. If we're not present, the Chinese will roll right in there, and we will have ceded that very strategic region. So very important that we're present in the South China Sea.
Very good. Captain Sadler, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for all your service you've given to our country and the service you continue to give us with this incredible insight and knowledge and all your great work at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks for being our guest today.
No, thank you, and keep doing the great work you guys are doing as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate that as well. Let's get to a break here and happy to take more of your phone calls, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Got a couple more great segments left. Got to give you this Supreme Court decision. It's stuck in my mind because I'm still blown away by the fact that it was a 9-0 decision on religious freedom. I think it's the second major. I don't know if it was the first one, a 9-0 decision. There was a recent case as well where the court went for religious freedom as well and reaffirmed that. So, you know,
I'll look it up.
So this is the second one. And listener Joe chimed in. It was very interesting. He said he parroted something Ryan had said totally separately off mic. He says, seems like the judges are making deals. That concerns us a little bit. We'll talk about that when we come back and so much more here on the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Speaking of sports, I was checking to see where my Tuesday night golf league team is. We had another victorious evening Tuesday.
Of course you did. Do you ever lose?
No, well, I wasn't
always winning.
I mean, in life.
I wasn't. I'm just such a winner. Hey,
Tim
winners,
winning Jones.
Winners win.
That's right. Yeah. And
they refer to
themselves in the third person.
He ain't first, you're last.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I didn't play. I didn't play in this
no
one.
Fear.
I only played once this year, but I will just mention we swept, but it was good. No, the team that we have a multi fella team, and so we put two guys up, and I couldn't play this week. It was my daughter's birthday, so I decided to do that instead.
Oh, do we know? Did she?
Oh, yeah. Katie Jones is on the road.
Yay!
Wow. Buckle down the hatches.
That's
batten
exciting.
Down the hatches. Yeah. Let's talk some sports.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. Throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
Yeah, and here he is now, Kevin Wheeler, joining us at KevinWheeler94 on Twitter. Kevin, good afternoon. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry today. Hope you're doing well, my friend.
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here. A little warm and toasty, but not too humid here in the Lou, so it's doing all right. Kevin, the Redbirds finally have turned things around for the moment.
It's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yes.
After a long stretch of that, getting a three-game winning streak, feeling a little bit better. And, yeah, I mean, look, you know, three games don't fix everything, but, you know, this is – I mean, you can't start a long winning streak without the first few, right? You just don't know how long it's going to run.
Yeah, so, Kevin, analyzing the last three games, how did everything look to you? What did they get back on track with? Everything? Or were there certain key things that you were like, okay, pitching's better or the hitting's better or the fielding's better? You know, what stuck out to you over the last three games?
Primarily starting pitching. I mean, that's been the number one thing, right? They've gotten four straight quality starts and – you know, in the stretch where they were struggling, the starting pitchers, for the most part, were having a hard time getting deep into games. So when that happens, it taxes the pen. It puts the offense in a position where they're under a little bit more pressure to kind of make up for those runs that are on the board early. But, you know, they had four straight. I know it started with the loss in Chicago, but Carlos Martinez was really good there. Waino followed that with a quality start. Kwon Young Kim had his first quality start of the year. And then, you know, Johan Oviedo did the same thing. And that's going to be the key, man. This is a team that's built on pitching, and when they don't pitch well, it's not going to result in a lot of victories.
Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports. I'm talking deep numbers here, but I think I'm talking to the right guy because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say when I look at run differential, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the team. You know, they've got a negative 27 run differential right now, and you can pretty much up and down the line, at least in the National League, look at teams who have positive run differential. They're in first, second place. Teams that don't are in last. That doesn't bode well for the Cardinals.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think that, you know, that's clearly a trend that has to turn around. And, you know, if you look at the last, well, you look at the, what was it, that 16, 17, 18 game stretch that came before the sweep of the Marlins series, that all happened in that stretch. So, you know, pretty clearly that's a major problem if you're trying to win games, because over the course of a year, it's not 100% accurate. You know, there are times where you could win a bunch of one-run games and lose one game by 10, and then that screws up the run differential. But the truth is that it is a great indicator of where things stand. And it's definitely a thing that's going to have to get corrected. And, you know, it will if you just do those simple things, right? I mean, it's easy to say that, but the number one thing is, you know, keep the pitching staff going, limit the other side, and then you've got a chance to level that off. But if it's that way near the end of the year, you're right, they won't be in first place.
So, Kevin, they're heading up to Atlanta. I see the Braves are under 500 with 30-35. Cardinals still hanging over, well, back over 500 with these wins at 35 and 33. So the Braves having a rough season. Are they a bad team this year, Kevin? Should we have some victories here? Or is this? are these next three games, we cannot take them for granted?
I wouldn't take it for granted. I mean, they have a couple of the best hitters on the planet in Ronald Acuna Jr. and Freddie Freeman. So you've got to be careful with the team. You know, they are a little top heavy in their lineup right now because they suffered some injuries, and that's a big part of it. That's a big part of where things go. And, you know, they have, you know, they expected to have a better pitching staff than what they've had. And the problem is that they haven't had the help, right? I mean, they face some of the similar problems that the Cardinals have in losing a couple of pitchers for the year and going from there. So I don't think you can write it off, but I think you definitely want to talk about, this being a dangerous series against a team that was supposed to be a contender and may still end up being one.
Mm-hmm. True. So,
Kevin, let me ask you a question about the business of baseball. I'm sort of just taking a step back and analyze. I get to actually go to the ballpark on Monday and be a part of some sort of event. So I'm taking a step back and analyzing my life in terms of Cardinals baseball. This season, last season, obviously not as many fans in the stands. And I was thinking, is that more of a detriment for the Cardinals, who rely more on that revenue than other teams? And is that going to hurt them, the product on the field, more because of that?
It's a valid question. I mean, I don't think it will, right? I mean, I think they've built this up over a number of years where, this is something that they can kind of work their way through. They can sustain success and not have to say, well, we had a rough year, so we can't afford to put a team out there. But I do think that the Cardinals are in the group of teams that absolutely probably took the biggest financial hit in all of this, right? But they were also teams that were making more money over time, too. So, you kind of weigh the long versus the short term there. They've taken a short-term hit, but I think the consistency of drawing over the last 20, 25 years is going to be the big difference.
Talking to Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports. Kevin, are you a golf guy at all? Can I ask you some U.S. Open stuff?
You can, but I won't know any answers.
Okay, so we'll skip that.
Just preach.
I'll be happy to make some crap up and throw some names out there for you.
There you go. How about that Phil Mickelson,
Yeah, well, we'll skip that. But, Kevin, what about the NHL? I kind of honestly lost interest after the Blues were out in the first round, but I pulled it up in order to see what was going on here, And why are we still doing the playoffs? Is this a vestige of the pandemic? I guess that everything's so late, and we're into late June here, and we're still dealing with conference finals.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not exactly it. They started late, so they had to come up with a plan to try to get as many games in as possible. And while doing that, we had no choice but to push everything back into the summer. So it's kind of where things stand at the moment, and that's why kind of weird, and we're still playing hockey at this point.
Yeah, and are the prognosticators thinking the Golden Knights are still the best team, the team to beat as we roll towards the final here?
They look like it, but I'm rooting for Montreal, man.
Yeah, why not?
First of all, Vegas has kind of been the bully here lately, and I know Blues fans root against them, but the country of Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1993.
Yes,
I would love to see a Canadian team do it. If the Blues can't do it, I would love to see a Canadian team do it. And Montreal was the last team to do it. So, I mean, you're talking almost 30 years without that. That gives me a little rooting interest in what's going on.
Yeah, I love the passion. Very good. Kevin Wheeler, at Kevin Wheeler 94 with KMOX Sports. Kevin, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate talking to you.
You got it. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, you take care. That was, he was in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, or at a party.
I think he was on a bus. I believe he's traveling.
With the team?
I'm not sure.
On a Greyhound bus.
He's just on a Greyhound bus. I'm not sure, but he is on a bus. He did tell me that.
Not a golf guy. Okay, fine.
All right.
I'll keep my golf to myself.
Well, today's the first day of the U.S. Open?
Yep. I can give you the leaderboard.
I know the names.
Yeah, you'll know the names. Okay. You'll know the names. Well, the first name you may not.
I will know the names.
Katie will know. Tell us who they are, where they're from.
Katie, throw out the leaderboard. Katie's like,
Robert Blavinsky. Robert Blavinsky. Come on down.
The Polish star. Yeah.
The Polish sensation. Leading the U.S. Open.
So Patrick Rogers is the leader right now.
That's who I said.
No. You'll know these next few names. Well, you will, Ryan. Brooks Koepka is in second.
I know that name.
He's one back. He's at minus three. After they've played 13 holes already. Xander Schauffele. The young man.
I don't know that one.
He's
Phyllis Schauffele?
No, Xander Schauffele.
Okay. Yeah.
Where is Phil Mickelson? Let's see here. Let's see if there's any other big names that might jump out at you. Let's see. Gary Woodland, you know that name? No?
No.
Okay. Jimmy Walker, not the Scotch.
No.
JT, Justin Thomas from the Kentuckian.
I know that name.
You know JT? He's a good fellow.
You know what's crazy, Tim?
Yeah.
I've actually been to Augusta. So I've been to the Masters.
Have you really? I've been one time as well.
I didn't get to see I just saw a practice round. But, you got to win the lottery to get tickets, basically. And a friend of mine.
You go.
Actually,
you go.
Dr. Ty Parker, I advertised for.
You go.
He got tickets, and he said, you want to go? And I'm like, well, once in a lifetime. I can't say no.
It's on somebody's bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somebody's going to be impressed by this one day. So, yes. And you know what?
I'm impressed.
Side story. We went down there, and the day we went, he was so excited to go. And the day we went, it just rained and rained and rained.
No.
So we walked around. We ate the pimento cheese sandwiches. Yep. We experienced what we could, and then we left. And we were in the area, so we thought, well, what else is there to do in this area? There's tons to do, but we had a friend who was down there too, and he said, well, you know, this is near where The Walking Dead is shot.
That's so, really?
And so, like, my friend lived close enough to Augusta, but closer to where that show was shot. And this is several, this is like in the peak of Walking Dead. Like, this was a big deal at the time because the show's still on, but it's like.
There are some people that are really heavy about
it's still on.
Dead.
So obviously,
series 15, season 15.
It's pretty deep into that.
We're
far in.
But this was like, you know, prime time. So we got to walk around some of the areas where they shot Walking Dead. It's so amazing how they make things. And duh, like we all know, they use green screens. They do all these things. It's all fake.
It's still incredible.
It's still, when you see it, you're like, I've seen this on TV. Half of this is real. The other half is completely fabricated.
That's interesting.
That's so sad, though. It's cool because technology rocks, but like when you go see a setting like that, you want it to be everything that you see on the TV. Like, that's what you're anticipating.
And you're like, darn it.
So when it's not, it's like, oh.
And you know, I don't know if you watch the show. If you don't watch the show, it's like none of this matters. But
I've hardly seen any of it. It's probably a show I would love. I just never got into it.
Oh,
well,
it's
you
so
referenced
good.
28 Days Later the other day.
I watched that.
And if you liked that movie,
okay.
You would like The Walking Dead because the start of the show is almost the same.
I like the dude's baseball bat.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah. That's Negan.
Barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He's a later addition to the show.
Okay,
but in the earlier seasons when they had the eye patch guy, and they have the city. What's it called? Like, they have the city that the walled in city that they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are right next to each other. Where the eye patch guy was like stationed in that town that he was whatever his name was.
Good old eye patch.
Eye patch guy. And the town, are they right next door to each other? They don't, that's not on TV, but when you're standing there, you're like, oh, these two places are basically the same place.
Crazy.
You wouldn't know. And it was just cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody alive from the first season still? Are there any of the characters still
Carol?
The same?
Yeah, there are. There are. Carol, and then, gosh. There is a
motorcycle guy. I can't remember his name.
Daryl.
That's how much I watched the show recently.
Brad just put up on Twitter. Took this picture in Atlanta. This is the bridge from the early season.
Cool.
As you roll into Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, look at that. That's cool. Phil Mickelson is didn't get a good start so far. He's plus two on the fourth hole. So he's got a long way to go, but. We need to see more action out of Phil. Anyway, there's your U.S. Open update and your Walking Dead update as well.
Yeah, you never. You're versatile.
You get it all here.
Versatile group.
You know, so Walking Dead is still like doing new. It's still new.
Yeah, they're still doing shows.
What season is it in?
It's got to be like 15.
Wow.
Katie will tell
us. It must be successful.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, I think at this point. So many shows.
Season 10.
Oh, it's only 10?
Only 10 years.
But, I mean, 10 is a lot.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Especially for a drama and a high-budget drama, too.
80% on Rotten Tomatoes still.
Wow.
These shows now, you know, traditional TV is just dying. So anything that has an audience, they're going to cling to.
They're
going to
keep it.
Like it's going out of style.
And not all the shows I've watched over the last, like my favorite ones, I'm waiting for them like forever to come back. You know, Outlander. Peaky Blinders.
Love Peaky Blinders.
I need to finish The Last Kingdom. I kind of got stuck there.
Last Kingdom's amazing.
Yeah, it's really
so
good.
So great.
And I'm waiting for Witcher. Do you like Witcher?
Yes.
I know the show. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's so great.
I thought that'd be kind of your sci-fi.
No.
Is it sci-fi?
Not,
I don't like
not
fantasy.
It's gamer. Yeah, it's fantasy.
Yeah.
It's gamer, it's, sci-fi.
The Witcher is the bomb.
It's based on a video game, Witcher.
Oh.
The
oh,
Witcher.
So it's not like a video game... plot line.
No, it comes from a video game. It's The Witcher.
But it's a fantasy.
It's a fantasy, yeah. And it's what's his name? Superman, right?
Henry Cavill,
right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's bad. Can I say that?
Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Say anus.
No, let's not say that either. Let's go to break.
Okay, Mom. 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm going to play a sound clip. Hang on a second.
This is an all-out assault. An all-out assault. I mean, it's just really hard to understand how they could cook up so many various ways to come at a person's right to vote, but they did. And in H.R. 1, we have a correction for most of that, but not...
Okay, I can't take it. I can't listen to Ma Kettle anymore. I mean...
We were having such a good time, and you played Nancy Pelosi.
But there she is, remember?
I was trying to sober us up.
It worked.
Remember yesterday when we said, where has Nancy been? This is where she's been.
Was that a recent clip?
Yes, that was from yesterday.
Oh, there she is. You ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Okay, I won't talk about what I was teasing.
Please don't. Please don't do that. Annie, help me.
If somebody's listening, they're like, what are they doing?
Hopefully nobody reads. Do they all read lips on the...
I hope not.
I hope not. My goodness gracious.
Tune into the live stream.
No, don't do
that. It's the last segment on Thursday.
You know what the problem is? You know why? It's warm in here.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But you know what? It is warm in here, and I don't... It's like this never happens. It's never like... I think it feels... great.
You probably feel comfortable.
Nice. Yeah. But it never happens. It's always freezing. I'm always with my blanket in here. So don't jinx it, Tim.
Okay.
No, that means it is warm in here because if you're comfortable, because you keep the heater on in our office 100%
true.
Of the time.
That's
even in the middle of summer.
100% true. It's cold back there.
Hey, you know what? Just when you thought it was going to be a boring summer, Trump announces his first rally since leaving the White House.
Yeah, in Ohio, right?
There we go. Yes, sir. I think Ohio. Let's see here.
What did he just have recently? That wasn't a rally. What was that?
He spoke at a convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But wasn't it video? He wasn't there, was he?
No, I think he was there.
He was there.
Yeah,
he was there.
Because he did another one just by video.
You know who gave a great speech at that was somebody the media will say doesn't exist. It was the black lieutenant governor of North Carolina is a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave a barn burner on reparations.
Oh.
Did you see it? Did you see that? You may have a clip on that.
I do. Yeah.
So, former President Donald Trump will begin his Make America Great. See, now he can do it. Make America Great Again, right?
He lost just so he could use MAGA again.
I couldn't think of a sequel. So, let's just do it all over again.
No, it was going to be CAG, wasn't it?
That's right, CAG. Yeah. Starting next week with an event in Ohio. The campaign style event was announced by Trump's Save America PAC and will be the former president's first rally since leaving the White House. The left, just when you thought we were going to have a kind of a sleepy, dreamy, hot little summer here and not do a whole lot, Donald Trump decides to have a rally. I mean, I think that's so fantastic.
Here's the lieutenant governor in North Carolina, Mark Robinson.
Yeah, that's him.
You've been the benefactor of freedom. You are the one that owes. And what do you owe? You owe it to them to get up off your tail and get to school. And when you get to school, you owe to them to get up off your tail at school and get to work and get some learning in your head. And once you get that schooling in your head and get out of that school, you owe it to them to get to work. And then when you get to work and you get married, you owe it to them to take care of your children and not let the government take care of your children.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What do all my liberal buddies say to that gentleman? And for them to say, oh, yeah, but the majority of African-Americans vote Democrat. Well, that's why they hated Donald Trump the most, because he was Donald Trump. The first thing Donald Trump did was he destroyed the traditional voting blocks in the upper Midwest that voted Democrat for the last four or five generations, the working class, right? He made the Republican Party the party of the – it always should have been the party of the people, but somehow, I don't know, in like the 80s or 90s, it got kind of taken over by a lot of corporate interests and a lot of country clubbers. But the Republican Party was always the party of individual freedom and liberty. It the Republican Party freed the slaves, you know, all about the individual rights. It is the populist party with a conservative – a framework around it is how I look at the Republican Party. And so Donald Trump took that voting block away from them first when he blew out the blue wall in the upper Midwest. And let me tell you, rank and file union members voted in mass for Donald Trump. So that terrified the Democrats first. The second thing he did in the second go around where, I mean, Ryan, you were talking about this the other day, the stats of Donald Trump's second election, I almost said re-election, but you know.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah, whatever. Really blow your mind when you consider where votes were up to this point in this country for Republican presidential candidates and what Donald Trump did, going from like the 60 million odds into nearly 75 million and the amount that he picked up amongst African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans and women, blowing away all those narratives that he's racist, sexist and homophobic and hates women and all this other stuff. He picked up voters and all. And that's why he was terrifying the left, because that message of individuality and opportunity and freedom and liberty for everybody was so appealing, and he got more votes than any Republican president before him, not by a little bit, but by a ton.
That's what makes you do the poodle head cock.
Like, yeah.
So he gained among every group of people.
Every group.
And yet, like, lost in a blowout? Like, how do these things... I mean, this is what... I mentioned this stat the other day. I think this is what led to this conversation, that he said... And I had never heard him say this. I mean, how much news does he put out, right? Well, lately, not that much. But he did say recently that his advisors told him, going into the 2020 election, sir, you won 63 million votes in 2016. If by our figures, if you can get to 65 million, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. should be safely reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And what, he got to 74 million mm-hmm. by the latest mm-hmm. count and lost? Mm-hmm. It, again... makes you do the old poodle head cock. How does that happen? Gained more than 10 million votes from his 2016 total, and yet still lost by 7 million?
Yeah, and the Federalist did a great job unpacking some of those anomalies that you're just referring to.
Oh, did you pull that up?
No, I couldn't find it just yet. But what ultimately in the wash comes out is that Biden lost all of the, like, contested counties that Hillary, like,
won. Oh,
the bellwether counties.
Yeah.
So Biden won the election by winning in four cities and
yes.
pumping up the vote in four cities.
Yes.
Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Phoenix.
And if you want to know why they're doing audits in probably those cities... that's why.
Yep.
Because there's so many anomalies.
The bellwether, so much weirdness.
The bellwether counties is the big one to me. I mean, that's one that you go, okay.
Yes.
You're talking about counties, yes. 21 of them, by my count, by the last time I read that article, I think it was 21 counties that the most recent, like 30 years is the most recent one. So these are counties that have predicted the correct or voted for the correct president, voted for the eventual president, I should say. Every single time for at least 30 years, some of them almost 100 years. And of those 20 bellwether counties that they voted for Reagan, then they voted for H.W. Bush, then they voted for Clinton, then they voted for Bush, then they voted for Obama, then they voted for Trump, then they voted for Trump. and Trump lost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 20 of the 21 bellwether counties went for Trump. That is statistically nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. That's why people are doing audits, because of that kind of stuff. They go, okay, let's get to the bottom of this. And if it just is a huge statistical anomaly, then it is, and we'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I found the points here. So yeah, the 80 million votes, and they're like, holy moly. That's how they start off that paragraph. Winning despite losing most bellwether counties.
Yep.
They reduced it to four. Biden won despite Democrat losses everywhere else. True.
Okay.
That held true. Biden overcame Trump's commanding primary vote. Yeah, that primary vote that Trump had was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Forget about that one.
Just so much weirdness. I don't know. We had a lot of weirdness today, too, but it was fun weirdness.
We're going to have Liz Harrington on the show tomorrow.
Oh, are we really? Fantastic.
Yeah, she's going to talk about some of that stuff going on in... We talked about Maricopa quite a bit in the last couple days. We're going to talk about Georgia with her tomorrow. She's got some stats and figures and latest news from Raffensperger.
I'm going to call it Freedom Friday. So, Katie, it's going to be like 101 degrees or something tomorrow, so I think we're going to maybe get a little update from Dave Murray,
trying to get Dave Murray. He's a busy guy, though. I've been texting Dave Murray, and I've been trying to get a hold of him, and I'm hopefully going to be able to get him on tomorrow, but the guy is busy.
We'll see if we can get a hold of him or not. But I think this weather breaks next week. So, you know what's weird about this? Even though it's been it's been really warm. It's been the 90s, it's going to hit 100. Knock on wood. Knock on linoleum. The humidity has been extremely low. So like when the sun starts going down in the evening, mm-hmm. it gets really pleasant outside.
Oh, it's great. It's so beautiful.
It's like that Arizona weather, you know?
Yeah.
Where like it just disappears. So you know what? If we can keep the heat but never have the humidity this summer, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that.
Me
That's
too.
Fine.
Is there some way that through the legislature, this would be your territory,
yes.
Tim, that we could raise our state above sea level,
yes.
like higher above sea level? Because yes. that's the problem.
Yeah, we'll pass a resolution.
Okay, censure somebody.
I think we'll do that. We'll definitely censure somebody.
Thank you.
So, did your dad need anything? Do we need to call him back?
No, he just wanted to say hey, that he loves the show.
I didn't know if we needed to check in with
that
him.
That he likes you. I mean, he, of course, misses Annie, but yes. he's just like, you know what?
Well, I'm glad I was able to fill in.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I just saw on the call screen, it says, your dad says hi. I'm like,
thanks, Carl.
Okay, Dad.
We got to take that call next time.
Carl as in producer Carl.
Carl,
taking
yes.
the phone calls there. So, yeah, read the Supreme Court decision. Supreme Court sides with Catholic Foster Agency excluding same-sex couples in a 9-0 ruling where Sotomayor and Kagan, the most liberal judges that have ever been on the court, did not even write a concurring opinion. They just went with John Roberts. The court got it right. Hallelujah. Screaming from the rooftops. Hey, Mark Reardon's up next. I'll be back tomorrow for a Freedom Friday here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.